Shalom, this is Yair Davidi from Bambi, Brit Am, broadcasting in Israel, Bambi. The topic of our present talk is the Messiah, the son of Joseph, Mashiach ben Yosef, and the relevance of this figure to studies of the Lost Ten Tribes and their present day identification. Messiah, son of Joseph, is connected with the figure of Joseph, with the people of Joseph, with that portion of the Israelite nation represented by Joseph. The story of Joseph in the Bible is an historical account, a literal account of what happened to the forefather Joseph, what really did happen to Joseph, the ancestor of people in Britain and America, as well as other areas. The story of Joseph, in addition to being an historical account of what happened to this particular person named Joseph, is also symbolic of what will happen to his descendants. In rabbinical tradition, we have the concept of the Mashiach ben Yosef, Messiah, son of Joseph, who will be a descendant of Joseph. The Mashiach ben Yosef also represents the actions of the descendants of Joseph in the last days and in the times leading up to these last days. In Jewish tradition, there will be two Messiahs, Mashiach ben Yosef, Messiah son of Joseph, and Mashiach ben David, the Messiah son of David. By son, we mean descendant of. This idea of there being two Messiahs is derived from the concept, the very concept of Messiah. In Hebrew, Messiah is the Mashiach. Mashiach literally means anointed one. An object, a person, or even an object were anointed when they were set aside for a special purpose. For instance, in warfare, one of the priests was especially chosen. He was anointed, and he was his task was to declare before the Israelite soldiers their God-ordained duty to fight bravely for the sake of all Israel, as described in Deuteronomy 19, verses 2 to 4. This priest, the specially consecrated priest, was known as Mashiach Milchama, the Messiah for war, the one anointed for warfare. Kings were also anointed. The concept of an anointed future savior, a Mashiach, that is a Messiah in English, is contained in the prophets. The Messiah in Israel, in the real sense of the word, the Messiah is to be descended from King David. It was to be a Mashiach ben David, a Messiah son of David. In addition to the Mashiach ben David, Messiah son of David, a tradition also existed that there would be a Messiah son of Joseph, Mashiach ben Yosef. This person, Mashiach ben Yosef, Messiah son of Joseph, would come shortly before the Messiah son of David. The Messiah son of Joseph was to be a descendant of Joseph from the tribe of Ephraim. According to the biblical commentary known as the Malbim, 1809 to 1879, the Messiah, son of Joseph, was to head the Lost Ten Tribes in the latter days, in this period leading up to the return of the Lost Ten Tribes and their eventual reunification with Judah. The Malbim is comments on Ezekiel 37, so we'll read a portion of Ezekiel 37. So that you were to become acquainted with the background. Beginning from Ezekiel 37:15, Ezekiel says, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in your hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither they shall be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Malbim explained these verses that we have just read from the 37th chapter of Ezekiel in the following manner. He said, beginning from Ezekiel 37:15 in his commentary, he said, The prophet was commanded to take one stick and to write upon it these words, For Judah and for the house of Israel his companions. This stick represented Judah and those others joined unto him from the children of Israel, such as the tribe of Benjamin and the sons of Levi and the rest of the people who had attached themselves to Judah. And as Ezekiel says, and he took another stick and he wrote upon it these words, For Joseph the stick of Ephraim and for all the house of Israel his companions. This stick represents Joseph, who was the source of the tribe of Ephraim. From Joseph developed the kingdom of Ephraim, which began with Jeroboam, and therefore the stick of Joseph is also termed the stick of Ephraim. As the Malbim continues, I am quoting from the Malbim, Ezekiel says, And all the house of Israel, for unto him, unto Joseph, who joined all of Israel, which belonged to the 10 tribes, our sacred sages had a tradition that in the beginning of the end times would arise a Messiah, an anointed Saviour, from the house of Joseph, who will reign over the 10 tribes. He will wage wars, and all of Israel will be gathered together under his banner. This will continue until later on a descendant of David will appear, and he will reign over them, over all the tribes. Malbim continues, A transformation will take place. The 10 tribes and the stick of Joseph will draw themselves closer unto the stick of Judah, and this too will be through the agency of a prophet and by miracles. The Malbim connects the prophecy in Ezekiel 37 with that in the book of Micah, chapter 5. The 5th chapter of Micah is explained in the historical section of our work, The Tribes, by Yair Davidi. This 5th chapter of Micah describes the union of King Josiah ben Ammon of Judah with the Israelite Scythian rulers of the Middle East at that time. We have a concept we call the prototypical prophecy. In other words, prophecy is often based on parables, on descriptions of events occurring in the life of the prophet, or sometime after the life of the prophet dies, his demise, but still somehow or other within his era, within his time span. Prophet foresaw something that was going to evolve from things that were around them, and he described that. And his description of what of these events is correct, is usually an accurate description of the event that happened. But the primary meaning of this description was not for the event itself, but for this event being a prototype for what will happen in the end time period. A pattern. A formation that in the end times would be repeated. So whilst remembering this principle, at the same time we can take the prophet's description of the event itself to learn something about the event for our historical studies. And that's what we have done. We know that the Israelites were exiled. They went to the north of the Assyrian Empire, and they became part and parcel of the Cimmerians, of the Scythians, and of the Goths, who were all basically one people. And eventually, King Josiah ben Ammon of Judah attempted a reunion with the Israelite Scythians, who at that time ruled over the Middle East. These Scythians were, on the whole, the ones we are dealing with were actually the sons, the grandsons, and great-grandsons of Israelites exiled to Assyria and elsewhere in the Syrian Empire. The Assyrians had settled the exiled Israelites in border areas, and they had also absorbed segments of them into their armed forces, and they became very important. The kingdom of Assyria was attacked by outsiders, and it also suffered from rebellions of the peoples within its borders, with peoples that had been conquered by it. And the empire of Assyria began to fall apart, became weakened, while many of the peoples within the Assyrian Empire began to assert their independence. Part of the Israelite exiles also asserted their independence about this time. The Israelite exiles had been taken away from the land of Israel by the Assyrians, joined up with other groups and became identified with them. They can be located, or they can be identified as part of a confederation of peoples known as the Cimmerians. From the Cimmerians emerged the Scythians and the Goths. The Cimmerians, Scythians, and Goths, also known as Guti, were basically all one confederation of peoples who, in the often confused in different nation records, the different entities often confused with each other. The Scythians and the Goths who emerged from the Cimmerians, also Israelites, or at least Israelites were an important major element amongst them. Incidentally, from the Goths, many of the people of Sweden and part of the people of Finland are descended. The Assyrians, at all events, the Assyrians made terms with the Scythians and attempted to use the Scythians against the enemies of Assyria. The Scythians became the protectors of Assyria. From being protectors of Assyria, the Scythians progressed to take control of most of the Assyrian Empire. The Scythians then attempted to join forces with the kingdom of Judah, and they assisted King Josiah ben Ammon of Judah against his enemies. King Josiah of Judah in turn assisted the Scythians. King Josiah of Judah made an attempt to resettle some of the Scythians in and around Bethshan in the former territory of Manasseh in the northern part of Israel. Just in case I'm losing you, I'll do a brief reminder. There were originally 12 tribes of Israel. They split into two entities. In the north were the 10 tribes. In the south were the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. And afterwards they were joined by Levi and also other refugees from the north. And after a few hundred years, the Assyrians came down and conquered all of the northern kingdom and took all of them into exile. Whereas the Jews in the south remained. They remained in Judah. And they remained as a semi-independent entity within the kingdom of Judah, and only sometime later, a few hundred years later, were they exiled by the Babylonians. At this period, from the Babylonian exile, they returned, and from them are descended most of the people we know today as the Jews. The tribes from the northern kingdom were taken away by the Assyrians, were lost. They went to the north, and they went to the west, and they went elsewhere. And they lost knowledge of their identity, and knowledge of their identity was lost to those around them. to everyone else, now known as Lost Ten Tribes of Israel, and we are now concerned primarily with Lost Ten Tribes of Israel. All events at the early stage, after the Assyrians had taken away the northern tribes of Israel into exile and placed them in areas of the Assyrian Empire, but before the Jews of Judah had also been taken into exile by the Babylonians, you add Israelites from the northern tribes in Assyrian exile, where while the kingdom of Judah continued to exist as an independent or semi-independent entity, and after different events occurred, there arose a king, Josiah ben Amon, who conquered all of the land, or took control of all of the land of northern Israel. He was from Judah, and he extended his rulership over most of the land of northern Israel. He asserted the independence of Judah against Assyria. He broke down all of the idols in the land, and he also attempted a reconciliation, according to Jewish sources, with the northern tribes of Israel. And a few did come back temporarily, and that, but this attempt did not last long. It had no permanent effect. There is outcome. From secular history, we know that King Josiah, the son of Amon, made contact with the Scythians, worked together with the Scythians. He helped them, and he was helped by them. And the Scythians are the only candidates who fulfill the role attributed in Jewish sources to the Lost Ten Tribes. So this in itself is a proof, it's a very strong indication, and this is supplemented by additional evidence. Getting back to what we were saying, from being protectors of Assyria, the Scythians progressed to take control of most of the Assyrian Empire. Okay? First, they were subjects of the Assyrians, they rebelled, then they made peace, then they became part and parcel of the Assyrian Empire, they became protectors of the Assyrians, and they eventually took effective control for a period, a short period, 20-something years, over the Assyrian Empire. They attempted to join forces with the Kingdom of Judah, and they assisted King Josiah ben Amon of Judah against his enemies. King Josiah of Judah in turn assisted the Scythians. King Josiah of Judah made an attempt to resettle some of the Scythians in and around Beth Jean, in the former territory of Manasseh in the northern part of Israel. This attempt was not successful, or if it was, it was short-lived. Eventually, the Assyrians attempted to reassert themselves. There were wars and changes of alliances, and different things happened. King Josiah of Judah lost his life fighting on behalf of the Scythians. The Scythians fought against the Assyrians, but then went to the help of Assyria, and then once again changed sides, and they took the major leading role in destroying Assyria and destroying the Assyrian cities. The Scythians destroyed Assyria. The main allies of the Scythians were the Medes and Babylonians. After destroying Assyria, the Medes and Babylonians betrayed the Scythians and drove the Scythians northward into southern Russia. Even though for several centuries, a good portion of the Scythians remained in the Middle East area. At all events, their movement did begin into southern Russia, and the Scythian area, which later became known as Scythia, all of the steppe area, they controlled much of Eurasia. Their center was in southern Russia, and from southern Russia, the Scythians later moved by stages into Western Europe. The prophet Micah in chapter 5, along with Talmudic passages, archaeological evidence, historical accounts, and other sources, all confirm the outline of what we have just described to you. Now read a little bit from Micah chapter 5, 1. Chapter 5, beginning with Micah 5, 1. And we'll see what we're talking about. Micah says, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will I give thee them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Get that last expression. The remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. All these verses speak of a king from the house of David who came out of Bethlehem. This king shall rule over some of the exiled of Israel who will return. And this is what King Josiah did. And it is also what the Messiah is destined to do. Micah says in verse 5:4, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And he continues, Micah 5:5, and this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces. Then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. The Syrians, they had entered the lands of Israel and Judah in the past, and they had trodden down the cities and palaces of Israel. The Israelite Scythians, after being exiled, became at first allies, and then they became protectors of Assyria. This is what Micah says. They were shepherds or protectors. First they were shepherds or protectors, and then they became the main rulers, 8 principal men. This is just what Micah describes the Israelites as doing. And Micah says in verse 5:6, and they, that is the Israelites, shall waste the land of Assyria with a sword, and the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he troddeth down within our borders. That is, Micah is saying they shall destroy the land of Assyria. The Israelites will destroy Assyria, just as the Assyrians had formerly destroyed the land of Israel. This is what the Israelite Scythians did. They destroyed Assyria. Micah 5:7, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as the dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, and waiteth for the sons of men. Micah 5:8, and the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles, in the midst of many people, in the midst of many peoples, it should be, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. We know that the Scythians, after taking over the Assyrian Empire, ruled over the Middle East, and they spread the terror of their name everywhere, apart from Judah. They fulfilled the prophecy of Micah, and this prophecy was prototypical of what would happen in the end times. And so too the British Lion amongst the peoples of the earth became the world's policeman of the globe. The British Lion also spread terror of its command throughout all the peoples of the earth. So it says in Micah 5:9, thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. What we have just described is the historical context of the 5th chapter of Micah. In our book, The Tribes, we emphasize that the major intention of chapter 5 of the book of Micah was concerning the messianic period in the future. It has not yet taken place. This 5th chapter of Micah, however, may be considered to describe events concerning the temporary Judean and Israelite Scythian reunion that did once take place. These historical events were kind of partial forerunner or prototypical model of the reunion that will take place in the future. The future reunion is yet to happen, but it will occur in the Messianic era or in the period leading up to it. The Malbim, in his commentary on this 5th chapter of Micah, intended to also throw additional light on chapter 37 in Ezekiel. The Malbim considered chapter 5 of Micah and chapter 37 of Ezekiel as talking about the same events. A few extracts from the commentary of the Malbim on chapter 5 of Micah helps us understand his commentary on chapter 37 of Ezekiel. The Malbim says, concerning Micah 5:1, it has already been clarified in Ezekiel 37 that in the end time, the 10 tribes will be the first to arouse themselves, and over them will reign the Messiah, anointed Savior, descendant of Joseph, and they shall accomplish great things. And Malbim goes on, the tribe of Judah who are scattered amongst the nations and are weakly and few will attach themselves unto the 10 tribes. They, that is the tribe of Judah, the Jews, will be of secondary importance at first in the kingdom of the anointed, descendant of Joseph. The Mashiach of Joseph. This will continue until later there will arise the anointed descendant of David in the might of the Lord. At that time they will all, both Joseph and Judah, accept upon themselves the kingdom, the rulership of the house of David. Then wars will cease, for the Gentiles will request guidance from him, from the Messiah. The Malbim goes on, I'm quoting from the Malbim, here the prophet Micah wants to describe the situation that will exist as long as the general ingathering will not be completed. And all of the exile of Judah will still not be gathered together in the land of Israel. Then all that time the house of Israel, meaning the 10 tribes and the anointed descendant of Joseph who belongs to them, will be the principal party. Judah, Joseph will be the principal party. There will be the warriors and the rulers. The house of Judah will be secondary in importance to them. This was explained in Ezekiel 37:19. Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph. I will take the stick of Joseph, and I will put upon him the stick of Judah. That is, according to what the Malbim understands the verse to say, that the stick of Judah will be put on the stick of Joseph. The Malbim understands this to mean that Judah will be secondary to Joseph, at least at first. King James' version, a translation of this verse, Ezekiel 37:19, that the Malbim is referring to, has a different reverses the arrangement. The King James says, "As say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand." The King James version seems to understand the stick of Joseph will be put with the stick of Judah, and not the stick of Judah will be put with Joseph. This is just the opposite of how the Malbim understands the verse. In the original Hebrew, the verse could actually be understood either way. At all events, the Malbim understands the Hebrew as saying that Judah will be put on attached to Joseph, and therefore will be at first of secondary attaché status importance to Joseph. In Genesis 44 was related how the brothers of Joseph sold him, how the brothers of sons of Jacob sold Joseph their brother. Joseph later, after being taken down into Egypt and having to serve as a slave, as a servant, and being put into jail after false accusation of attempted rape, Joseph, through miracles, became the virtual ruler of Egypt. In the meanwhile, the land of Canaan, like the land of Egypt, was stricken with famine. So they knew that in Egypt there was food, there were stocks of food that Joseph had stored up. They did not know that this ruler of Egypt was Joseph. They knew that there was food in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, so they went down to Egypt. They went down to Egypt to buy grain. There Joseph met them. They came before Joseph, and Joseph recognized his brothers, but the brothers of Joseph did not recognize him. Joseph forced his brothers to go back to Canaan and eventually to return accompanied by Benjamin. Benjamin was the younger brother of Joseph by the same mother. All the other sons, forefathers of the tribes, were brothers of Joseph only through their father. They had different mothers. Benjamin and Joseph were the only two sons of Rachel, the favorite wife of Jacob. Joseph and Benjamin were full blood brothers, both through their father and their mother. When the brothers returned with Benjamin, at first Benjamin had not come down with the other brothers because he was a favorite son of his father, and his father did not want to let him go because he was still bereaved over the loss of Joseph. He thought Joseph had been killed, and he did not want to risk losing the only living remnant that he had from Rachel, his beloved wife. At all events, when they did bring Benjamin down, Joseph framed Benjamin. He made Benjamin out to look like a thief. Joseph threatened to keep Benjamin as a slave with him. And Judah stepped forward and approached Joseph and pleaded on behalf of Benjamin. Judah offered to serve as a slave instead of Benjamin. The commentators say that because Judah took responsibility for Benjamin, Judah merited to be given the messianic responsibility as part of his tribal destiny. From Judah emerges the house of David and the future Messiah. Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, the Lubavitcher Rabbi, the former head of Chabad, made the following observations on the action of Judah in his commentary on Genesis. Vayigash, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, was considered to be inspired by his followers and by many others. The relevant verse that we are speaking about that Rabbi Menachem Schneerson made his commentary upon is Genesis 44:18, when it says, "Then Judah came near unto him," came near unto Joseph, "and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ear, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh." The expression, "for thou art even as Pharaoh," according to Rabbi Schneerson, or a source that he quotes, means that Judah wanted to say that Joseph is as powerful as Pharaoh, and that Judah recognizes his authority. Judah acknowledged the authority of Joseph. Because of this, Judah merited that in his seed, in his descendants, will be fulfilled the promise, as it says in Ezekiel 37, "My servant David shall be their prince forever." That is, the descendant of Judah through David will be the future Messiah and ruler over Israel. The rabbi says that in order for Judah to bring on the Messiah, to produce the Messiah, to have the Messiah reveal himself, as if to say, to help the Messiah come and realize the promise given to his seed, "My servant David shall be their prince forever," Judah must first do as the patriarch Judah did when he came near unto Joseph, and he acknowledged the authority of Joseph and initially was influenced from Joseph. After that, the rabbi went on to explain how the USA is a merciful state that has kindness, enables the Jews to practice their religion, and has good principles. The rabbi used the term hesed, meaning kindness in Hebrew. The USA does hesed, kindness. It helps its own citizens and helps others, many others. So too, the kings of the 10 tribes kingdom of northern Israel before their exile were also described as merciful kings. They were called kings of hesed, Malkei hesed, kings who do kindness. This is described in 1 Kings 23:1, and there it is actually speaking of Achab and those kings who went before him, who according to the Bible were mainly very wicked people from our point of view. But from the point of view of the heathen, from the point of view of the non-Israelites, they were considered merciful. In other words, compared to those nations around them, they actually were merciful. And in the eyes of the heathen, they were considered merciful kings, Malkei Hesed, kings of mercy. And this same expression was that used by the rabbi in describing the USA. There will be a future reunion of Judah and Joseph. Neither the Malbim nor Rabbi Schneerson were consciously aware that Joseph is to be identified with Anglo-Saxon related peoples. Sorry to diverge, but I'd just like to point out that many of the great rabbis in the land of Israel some time ago, when the British ruled here, referred to the British rulers as on the whole being Malkei Hesed, kings of Hesed, rulers of Hesed. And this expression is usually reserved, and in fact in the Bible it is found only as applied to kings of the northern kingdom of Israel. It's worth keeping in mind, at least, worth noting. Getting back to Rabbi Schneerson, what Rabbi Schneerson was speaking of, Rabbi Schneerson, and described America as a Malchai Hazard, as a nation of hazard. Neither the Malbim nor Rabbi Schneerson were consciously aware that Joseph is to be identified with Anglo-Saxon related peoples. By Anglo-Saxon, I mean the British North Americans and their colonial cousins in Australia, South Africa, New Zealand, Canada. Even so, the description of these commentators and other commentators of the relationship between Judah and Joseph find some parallels in recent times with that between the Jews and the English-speaking nations. As we have pointed out in our book Ephraim, the Anglo-Saxon nations are really the only cultural, ethnic bloc that is capable of barring supernatural miracles of physically fulfilling the rule ascribed to Joseph in Jewish sources. They are the only ones capable of defeating Muslim peoples in armed confrontation. They are also the only ones who until now have actively assisted the Jews in settling the land of Israel. They have taken this task upon themselves almost as part of an obligation springing from their own national heritage. This point holds true despite mistaken and negative stands often taken by certain politicians and national leaders in America and Britain against the Jewish Israelis. There are some bad Israelites, there are some bad Jews, and some bad people of other regions in Israelite nations. These nations in the past have proved themselves capable of successfully organizing the orderly and secure mass movement of their own peoples and in settling them overseas in new countries. Eventually, a reunion between Judah and Joseph will take place, the sooner the better. And once again, some type of colonizing effort will transpire, and according to prophecy, Joseph is destined to take over Gilad and Bashan and Lebanon, meaning the regions of Syria, part of Iraq, and the present-day Lebanon, and the country of Jordan. By helping Bilam, by purchasing books, publications and offerings, contributions, and helping to spread Bilam truth and knowledge, you are making a first step towards the reunification of Judah and Joseph. You are doing something, and something needs to be done, and we need your help, and you need us, or somebody like us is needed by you. So help us, because we are acting on behalf of you, and we want to do so, and we need to do so, and we need financial and moral and assistance in numerous areas, and you are capable of rendering us that assistance that we need. Everybody should participate in this enterprise and do whatever they can to help us. Regarding the future Messiah son of Joseph, we will speak of that at a later time. This is Yair Davidi from Bambi, from Bit-Am, Broadcasting Israel, signing off. And we will continue this lecture in the following talk dedicated to the Messiah, son of Joseph, and his relevance to us in a separate talk. Thank you very much.